life begin? Really? I like that. When death was arrested and my life began. Thank you, Aaron and Rebecca. It's wonderful. I want you to take your Bibles this morning. Turn to Old Testament book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18 is where we'll be this morning. And as you're turning there, I want to tell you about some good ideas. We are full of ideas. That is what makes us human. You get a room full of people like this, you get a room full of ideas. And some of them are going to be really good ideas. Some of them, not so good ideas. Less good, even, you might say. And so, how do we decide what is a good idea and what is a bad idea? Well, I took the time to write down some good ideas and some bad ideas this morning for your listening pleasure. Let's see if you can figure out which one is the good idea. Taking a deep breath before jumping into a swimming pool, or taking a deep breath after jumping into a swimming pool? It's a good idea and a less good idea, right? Hold on to the rope while water skiing. That's good. Hold on to the rope after you fall. Not so good. But you have to tell people this when you're teaching them to water ski. It happens, Brother Don. I'm sorry. Didn't happen to you. Having breakfast served to you in bed, that's good. Having tennis balls served to you in bed, not so good. Tossing a penny into a fountain to make a wish, while ineffective for wish making, marginally good. Tossing your cousin penny into the fountain to make a wish, not good. Last one, I promise. Buying a pair of shoes on sale, that's good. Buying a parachute on sale, bad. Some of you will get that tomorrow. I'm so glad you're here this morning. As we talk about the Bible, as we talk about the book of 1 Kings, I want you to turn there with me. And as you get to, when you get to chapter 18, as I get there myself, I want you to stand if you can, if you are able and willing, for the reading of God's Word. We are going to be reading 1 Kings chapter 18, and we are going to read one verse this morning while we're standing, and that would be verse 21. It says this: Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him, but if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your divine text. As always, we ask for divine help as we look, as we study, as we gain interpretation and knowledge from your word. Father, we need the help of the Holy Spirit for that. We are completely and totally incapable and inadequate to do it otherwise. Father, as we look at this showdown on Mount Carmel this morning, Father, I pray that you would reveal to us how it is that you would have us to apply this teaching. Thank you for your people. Thank you for allowing us to be gathered in this place. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. 1 Kings 18, 21 begins with the word Elijah. What is he there for? What is Elijah doing at the edge of Mount Carmel in this particular book of the Bible? Elijah is there because King Ahab has been ruling over the nation. And King Ahab and his wife Jezebel have taken worship. They have taken religion and have distorted it from the worship and religion of God, Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, the God of everything. They have taken that and distorted it and perverted it and promoted the popular God, Baal, in his place. And so, if you'll stay with me for a moment, This is actually like the best reality TV show you've ever seen in the Bible. Anybody ever seen reality TV? Yes? You don't have to admit to that, church. It's okay. This is really like, this reads like a reality TV show. And it all starts with a question. But if you look back at chapter 18, verse 17, and you will get a glimpse of the relationship between Ahab and Elijah, the king and the prophet. As they set the stage for this showdown, it says in verse 17, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" He said, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed the Baals." The book of Deuteronomy gives us, which we're not going to go look at today, qualifications and specifications for a king. Ahab is not following those rules as a king. They are perverting, distorting worship to the prophet Baal instead of to God. And Elijah comes on the scene to challenge him in this. Ahab calls him a troubler of Israel, and so now the stage is set. We have some friction in the room. That's what makes a good TV show, isn't it? Friction. Somebody is against somebody else, and how is it going to be resolved? Let me ask you a question in regards to Elijah's question. Because what was the question? How long will you hesitate between two opinions? On the surface, that probably doesn't seem like such a great question. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? You dig a little deeper into this, it really is a great question. But let me ask you guys a question and myself a question. When was the last time you either asked or were asked a question that really mattered? When was the last time that you either gave a question that really mattered to somebody or received a question from someone else that really mattered? And I know what we all do. We all do this. We all say, "I'll ask that question later. I'll ask that coworker later. I'll ask that family member later. I'll ask that person later." We are not guaranteed later. We are not guaranteed later. Elijah's question was timely and powerful. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? What does it even mean, hesitate? Does that mean I don't exactly know how to get the sentence out? Does that mean something else? If you look at the word, it actually means to make limp, to make lame, even to paralyze. How long, and your translations may actually do a pretty good job of interpreting this word, depending on what translation of the Bible you have. The NASB says, hesitate. The New English Translation says, paralyze. How long will you be paralyzed between these two opinions? And what are the two opinions? We can worship Baal, like Ahab and Jezebel and all of the prophets, or we can worship God, like the prophet Elijah. So we have this huge building up in just a few verses of what is going on here. You know, I was reminded this week, David reminded me of a story this week that I could relate to because it's happened to me. Anybody ever have barbed wire fence on their property? Yep. And sometimes you just want to get to the other side of the fence. And what do? You don't want to walk all the way around to where the gate is, right? It's a long way to the gate. So what are you going to do? You're going to do what, Genesis? You don't get a ladder and then jump off the ladder. You don't use ladders with barbed wire. You use the barbed wire as the ladder. You're going to climb over the fence, right? Did you ever do this, Brother Clinton? You climb about halfway up and you get to that moment of decision where you've got to swing your leg over the top wire because it will not support you if you just climb all the way up. And then what? You realize not all barbed wire is spaced the same. Not every fence is built the same. And so you're trying to be careful and you swing that leg over the top wire and you realize you probably should have taken another rung up. And then what? You are paralyzed. You are stuck because you are in that moment of decision where I can either completely tear my pants or I can try to go backwards, probably tearing the pant leg, or you could just do what I normally did and fall because I'm uncoordinated, making a real big mess of everything. To be paralyzed in indecision, to be paralyzed in between these two opinions, Baal worship, the false Canaanite god of Baal, a little g god, or the worship of the true God from the prophet Elijah's mouth. Where do we go from here? Well, the stage has been set. Let's look at verse 22. Then Elijah said to the people, because, you know, there's a lot of people here. 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table in verse 19. There's a lot of people here. Elijah said to all the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Verse 23, now let them give us two oxen. Let them choose one ox for themselves and cut it up. Lay it on wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I call on the name of the Lord. I want you to notice there, in my Bible, there is a little g God. Then you call on the name of your little g God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, which is in all capitals in my Bible. I will call on Yahweh. I will call on the God, the creator of the universe, the heavens and the earth. I will call on Him. And the God who answers by fire, He is God. And this is where we get to the fantastic part of this message. And all the people said, that is a good idea. Really? Doesn't seem like such a good idea to me. 450 people plus waiting for this showdown of gods. How many of you guys have ever been in a meeting where you had to agree on something? It might be a meeting of about six people. And out of six people, you can't even get them to agree on one thing. They got a whole hillside full of people to agree that this was a good idea. This. We're going to get some ox. We're going to cut them up. And everybody in that day would have understood the sacrificial process of preparing a sacrifice before God. They would have understood it, so it didn't need explaining. And so now, this is what they settle on as a good idea. And now everybody agrees. All the people said, this is a good idea. Can you imagine? And you think about how goofy this is, but then you think about ourselves. We are not so different. To where we feel so compelled and so sure and so convicted about this is the right thing to do. And it might be setting up something for a little g God. We get so convinced and so entrenched and set in our ways that we might actually set up the stage for a challenge to the real God and think that it's a good idea. prophets of Baal were so far gone, so paralyzed by the opinion of their little g god, that they thought this was going to be a good idea. And then we think about this, and maybe it is a good idea. Why not? I'm pretty sure that this little g god, this god of Baal over here, I'm pretty sure he's going to show up. They were sure of it. But then we have to think about this in just hypotheticals, because it comes out of my mouth and it goes into my ears and it goes into your ears, and it's all a matter of hypothetical situations until we have to start preparing the sacrifice. We have to start preparing the altar. We have to start getting our hands a little bit dirty. And I was thinking through this, and I thought, there was a preacher at one time that was testing one of his rich members. He was a farmer, and he asked the farmer, he said, John, we will call him, John, if you had 100 pigs, would you give 25 to God? He said, yes, pastor, I would. The pastor said, John, if you had 20 pigs, would you give 5 to God? Yes, absolutely, pastor. Well, John, what if you had 2 pigs? Would you give 1 to God? And John said, now, pastor, cut that out. You know I only have 2 pigs. You see, it's all hypothetical until we have to start doing something. It's all a matter of hearsay and words that we're hearing until we have to actually do something. And these prophets were so sure about their God that they began to do something about it. Remember the question, how long will you limp or be paralyzed between these two opinions? And so they set it all up. Reality TV, this is the showdown. We need the little host saying, here's team A and here's team B. We're going to see which one shows up as the whole world watches. If I don't fall. And what happens? Verse 26. Then they took the ox which was given to them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. O Baal, answer us. I love this line. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped about the altar which they made. I want you to notice a few things about this. They were so sure of what they were doing that they put their hands to work and prepared a sacrifice and cut up an ox and put no fire under it, just like Elijah said. This is a good idea, they said, and began to call out to their little g god. But no voice came and no one answered. Well, maybe they didn't do it right. But it says they were there from morning until noon. They had church. I have to be careful here. From morning until noon, they got out in time to beat the Methodist. Am I still being careful? I'm sorry. They were there from morning until noon, and they leapt about, and they called out to their God. And in verse 27, keep reading with me, it came about at noon. Elijah mocked them, saying, call out with a loud voice, for he is a god, a little g god. There it is again. Either he is occupied or gone aside, or is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and needs to be awakened. Get louder, prophets! I would have been good friends with Elijah. He was full of sarcasm. Call out, get louder, do more. Maybe he's asleep, maybe he's on a journey. All the while knowing that their God does not even exist. So, remember, this is a good idea. Verse 28, so they cried with a loud voice, and even began to cut themselves according to their custom with swords and lances until blood gushed out of them. Let's up the ante here. Prophets of Baal, let's up it just a notch. TV show's getting real good now because they're trying with all their might to get their God to show up. And we're watching in anticipation that something is going to happen because they are sure of what their God can do. And they have gone so far as to set up this altar, cut up this ox, put wood under it, but put no fire to it. And now they are calling out louder and louder and louder, and they are dancing around and they are cutting themselves and they are trying to get everything that they can do to get their God to show up. I'm here to tell you that no matter how much religious activity, no matter how many rituals we have, no matter how much we cry out, if we are not giving our offerings to the true God, there will be no voice and there will be no answer. Nobody hears, nobody answers, and quite frankly, nobody cares about our worship to our little g gods. When midday was past, they're still at church. Midday was past, they raved until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. They were extra religious. They did church in the morning and at night. If they could have done it on Wednesday, they probably would have. They raved, crying out, cutting themselves. I don't want to be a prophet of Baal. And here's that phrase again, but there was no voice and no one answered and no one paid attention. Nobody cares about their little g god. Verse 30, then Elijah said to all the people, he had to bring them back in. Y'all come over here for just a minute and let me tell you how it's going to go. Come near to me, he said in verse 30. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Part of the Canaanite practice as they were worshiping these false gods was to go and tear down the altars that were built to the true God. And they would go and they would destroy them. And so Elijah went over to the altar that had been torn down and repaired it. You know, I think it's interesting that he had to repair something that had been broken. So often in our spiritual lives, whenever we are dealing with a lost and broken and hurting world, we need to do some repairing before we start rebuilding. We need to do some repairing before we get to the end result. So that the people could experience the true God, so that the people could know that there is a true God, there had to be something that was repaired. Don't miss that. Verse 31, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. So with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. Then he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill 4 pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. Can you imagine if you were commentating this? If you were narrating this from a TV show? I don't understand what Elijah's doing here, Jim. I just don't get it. Why would he get all this stuff wet? He's going to have to try to get his God to come down and set it on fire. Oh, well, now he's putting another bucket of water on it all. Now he's getting another bucket of water. This is crazy, Jim. I'm calling him Jim because it's usually what the announcer's name is, isn't it? This is ridiculous. This will never work. I remember one time we were playing a team in our high school basketball days that we were not fond of. They were not fond of us, and we were not fond of them. I will tell you how bad it was. We had to play at a neutral site. We could not play in our home gym, and we could not play them in their home gym. We actually had to play in a neutral gym. It was that bad. And we got ahead of them probably by 15 points going into the fourth quarter. Our coach looked at us as we sat on the bench, and he said, "I want there to be no doubt. No doubt left when they're finished." Okay. I call this the no doubt, leave no doubt section. Elijah says, "Fill four pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering, and then fill four more and do it a second time, and then fill four more and do it a third time." And he built a trench around it to hold it all. Elijah says, "I am so sure of what my God will do that I am willing to put it all on the line and then some." He prepared for what God was about to do. Think about this for a moment. He prepared physically for what God was about to do spiritually. Sometimes we have to do this. Sometimes as a church, we need to prepare physically for what God is going to do spiritually. And Elijah was so sure about his God and his moving that he prepared physically. Sometimes we need to do this. Individually, we've got to prepare sometimes for God to move. And as a body of believers, we've got to prepare sometimes for God to move. Even if we are not sure how the end result will be, we are sure that He is going to show up and we are sure that He is going to move. And we must prepare. Let's finish this. Verse 36. "At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that You are God in Israel and that I am Your servant, and that I have done all these things at Your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that You, O Lord, are God, and that You have turned their heart back again.'" I want you to stop right there for a second, because Elijah could have set all of this up and prepared all of this stuff, all for his own glory as a prophet. "Look how good of a prophet I am." And instantly he turns it back to the God of the universe, and he says, "So that the people will know that You are God. Not that I will be known as a good prophet, but that You will be known as a gracious and glorious and powerful God." And then verse 38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" Elijah's God shows up. He not only does He show up, He shows off. Sometimes we need to ask for God to do such things. "God, I need You to... I cannot do this. I need You to show up and I need You to show off so that the people will know that You are God." Remember, we started this and we'll end it the same way. How long will you waver between these two opinions? They were so sure about what their little g God would do. They were willing to put their hands to work and get ready to sacrifice and prepare everything for their little g God, and they called out and they cried out and they did everything that they could to be religious. But their little g God was nowhere to be found. And I have to be careful in my own life that little g gods don't get in the way of who God truly is and what He is truly doing. "But remember, this is a good idea," said the people. I want you to see what this good idea cost them in verse 40. "Then Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape.' So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there." The good ideas to their little g gods cost them their life. If we get so caught up serving little g gods that we refuse to prepare and we refuse to show that we trust God and we refuse to do everything that we can to set up God to show up and show off, we will lose our life to our little g God. And we will lose our footing in Jacksboro. We will lose our footing as a church. We will lose our footing in the kingdom. Because we let little g gods rule the day. Church, as we strive to love God, love people, and advance the kingdom, let's be mindful of who we are serving. Are we serving little g gods? Are we preparing for God, the big G God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to show up and show off? Not only in our lives individually, but for Live Oak Baptist Church. Because I don't want to lose my life to a little G God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity to serve you this morning. Father, I thank you as we have looked in this text, as we have read through this showdown on Mount Carmel. Father, I pray that you would expose the little g gods in our life. Because some of them we have buried, some of them we have hidden so well. Father, would you expose them? Each one of us, that may look different. But Father, help us to be found faithful whenever we finally come to the realization that these little g gods, no matter how much we call out to them or cry out to them or serve them, there will be no answer. There will be only silence when it matters. But God, help us to remember that you and you alone are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our time. You are worthy of our energy and our effort to prepare for you to show up, to give you glory for when you show off, for when you save a lost person, someone that has never known you as their Lord and their Savior. That is a miracle. Father, help us to serve you in that way, so that we might help the people of Jack County understand and know that you are God. Would you deal with us this morning? Thank you for loving us, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me? This morning as we begin our time of invitation, Brother Travis and I will be here. If you need to come and pray with one of us, you come. If you need to come and pray at this altar, physically do the work of letting go of something at the altar, we understand that. If you need to come this morning and say, I've never said that Jesus is my Lord and Jesus is my Savior, and you want to do that this morning, we're here to help you through that as well. Would you sing with us?
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
You may be seated for just a moment. Good morning, church. I'm so grateful that you are here this morning to be a part of our service. It really is my hope that I can lure you in to some of our activities. And so take a look at these few announcements. Remember to always love God, love people, and advance the kingdom. Have a great morning.
Our Awana Family and Awards Night is Wednesday, May 9th at 6 p.m. We encourage our whole church family to turn out and support our clubbers and all they have accomplished this year. The preteen annual spaghetti lunch and dessert auction is today following the morning worship service. Join our church family for lunch and support our preteens. All donations will go towards camp cost. The youth will be having their annual chicken spaghetti takeout on Friday, May 18th from 5 to 7 p.m. They are selling tickets for $10 per plate, which includes dessert. All the proceeds will go towards student life camp fees. Great food for a great cause. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer for the youth chicken spaghetti takeout. They are in need of brownies and pans of chicken spaghetti. If you would be willing to cook something, please add your name to one or both of these lists. Our 3D family weekend prayer focus is for the children that will be attending, from babies to sixth graders. Women Breaking for God will meet Thursday, May 3rd at 6 p.m. in the home of Melissa Rowland. Until we see you again, love God, love people, and advance the kingdom.
There I am. I apologize for that. Sometimes I just can't help myself. But you know what? I tell you what. This is what we're going to do. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. And as you leave, I want you to take a big sniff as you go out, because there is spaghetti and garlic bread and all kinds of stuff as you go. And just follow your nose, okay? Right into the... That's perfect. You see, that's what happens when you put stuff in for your sermon and don't get to it. They get to use it at their discretion. So that's perfect. Thank you, Anthony. I love you. All right. So, yeah, you just jump on the tortoise and go that way, and we'll have a great time at lunch. And all the proceeds go to preteen camp today, and we're looking forward to that auction. You're my auctioneer, right? He's the man. Ronnie's going to be auctioning off some desserts. It's going to be a lot of fun. So you want to stick around for that. If you're our guest this morning, thank you for being here. We would invite you to go to our information table after the service is over. Get some more information about the church and what's going on. And we look forward to seeing you again soon. All right, let's stand and let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for our time together. Father, thank you for allowing us to be exposed to your word. Father, it is sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates and cuts to the bone and marrow. Father, I pray that as we review and internalize this text this morning, that we would remind ourselves not to serve the little g gods in our lives. It's easy to say, it's hard to put our hands to work. So, Father, would you be so heavy with conviction that we refuse to serve those little g gods and serve you and you alone? Thank you again for your people. Thank you for a great Sunday morning. We give all the glory and praise to you because you are God. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.
I cast my mind to Calvary.
Good. How are you? mumble.
Where Jesus bled and died for me, I see his wounds, his hands, his feet.